Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. I can hear all the energy of that extra hour of sleep. Amen. We are glad for that. And we are also glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community, whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time. We welcome you. One of the ways that you can learn about the ways which we are church together is in your bulletin. There are calendars and announcements to be read in there. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. And one note about our worship this morning is we are celebrating the sacrament of communion, and all are welcome to participate. And if there are any children who were so excited by last Sunday's Fusion Sunday, parents are invited to keep their children in worship or go get them from Sunday school if they would like to participate this morning. Another announcement, Carol Ann is on vacation, not early retirement. Don't worry, we've got her for a few more months yet, but she will be gone for the next two Sundays. Kay has an announcement.
Good morning to you all. If it's November, it's now Church Mouse Bazaar time. So if you will take out this little sheet in your bulletin this morning and see where you might be able to help us on November 23rd, it would be much appreciated. This morning I'm going to ask for people who, if they can help on Friday night and Saturday night to put the church, take them apart and put it back together, that would be great. But any place that you can help on this sheet would be much appreciated. Thank you.
For the youth, both junior high and senior high, the Presbytery-wide youth event is coming up, and we need your forms turned in. You should have received an orange form like this. If not, see me in Carol Ann's office, and let's get one filled out. The deadline is this week. As I mentioned, this is a youth retreat organized by the Presbytery. It's Presbytery-wide, so there'll be other churches involved. It's at Rotary Sunshine Camp, and they're bringing in a nationally known youth retreat leader who's very inspirational, very fun and exciting, so it should be a great event. There's also an event Thursday night with this same speaker at Third Presbyterian Church for adults to go to. So if you're a frazzled parent or grandparent and need some inspiration, this might be for you. You can see me about that. And so there's two pluses. You get to hear the speaker, and it's at Third Presbyterian Church, which is a beautiful church downtown if you haven't been there. So see me after worship.
Thank you. Jim. Oh.
Good morning. I'm Jim Madaw. I happen to have the privilege of being the chair of your Budget and Stewardship Committee this year. And you all have received, I hope, in the mail your request for pledges. Next Sunday is the day, Commitment Sunday. So just a reminder, bring your pledge card. We'd be glad to receive it. Thank you.
Thank you, Barb.
Good morning, ladies of the church. I can't believe it's a year later. But anyway, Thursday, December 12th is the annual Women's Candlelight Dinner. I'm going to be starting to sell tickets today, and they're going to be $20. The location is Brookley Country Club. Last year we went there, and it was absolutely wonderful food. The tickets will be sold every Sunday until December 8th, and we have some entertainment this year called Striking Strings, which are a bunch of people that play the dulcimer instrument. So we're very excited to have them. Thank you, Melissa. So feel free to join us. It'll be a great night. Thank you.
And now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our whole entire selves, to worship God. Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. We sing to God
for all the saints who rest from their labors and for those who labor still.
We praise the name of God
who welcomes us when we fall short of who we are created to be.
Calling us down from our sorrow,
may our voices lift God's praise.
Morning. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Lord of mercy, forgive us when we make excuses for our lack of faith. We let our selfishness and apathy get in the way of welcoming you and others. We find ways to duck out of our opportunities for service and witness, claiming that we are too small or too ill-equipped to be effective witnesses to Jesus Christ. Indeed, we have fallen short, but we would rather whine and complain than come down for our self-centeredness. Reveal for us again your salvation that marks us for service to you. Lord, please hear our prayers of confession. The endless cloud of witnesses has gone before us, leaving us a legacy of hope and discipleship. Learn from those who have shown God's love and all that they have said and done. You have been set on the path of faithful discipleship. Be at peace. Thanks be to God.
Are welcome to come forward. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. You think you can stay that way the whole time? Okay. We'll have to see. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, good morning. Who can tell me what happened on Thursday? What was on Thursday? You guys forgot already? Oh, one, two, three. Tell me. Halloween, of course. Did you guys dress up?
Yes.
Yes, I saw so many great costumes on Thursday. Tons and tons and tons of them. And you know what? I'm going to embarrass my kids. I got their permission. They wanted to dress me up, too. And so here's the costume that they gave to me. Tell me what this is. A cape, right? All right. So I got this. And then I got this. Does anyone know what this is? An apron. And then, you know what else they gave me was, yes, you see it. Super mommy. And then they realized that that was super embarrassing and they told me to take it off. But I saw so many superheroes dressed up for Halloween and that was so cool. And do you know what we're celebrating today? Is the day it's called All Saints Day when we celebrate the superheroes of our faith. Those who have taught us all about the love of God in the way that they live their lives. But you know what's super cool about this day? Is you don't have to be a superhero to show God's love. Can I tell you a secret? I'm not super mommy. I know. Sometimes I make dinner that's really gross. And sometimes I forget to dress my kids up in the right clothes for Spirit Week. Man, I make mistakes too, but you know what? Each and every single day, we all make mistakes, but God still finds ways to show God's love through each of us. So do you know what that means? You guys are superhero saints in faith too. So this week, I want you guys to practice as many times as you can the ways that you can show God's love to your friends and to your family by being kind and sharing. You think you guys can do that? Yeah, not perfectly though, right? No. But we'll keep practicing. Can we pray together? That'd be all right. Dear God, thank you for the superheroes of our faith. Help us to be one too. Amen. All right, you all are welcome to go back and sit with your parents or find Sunday school. If you need help, let me know.
The first reading of the word is from Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up, and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there, and his name was Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was very rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He was gone to be the guest of the one who is a sinner?" And Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I'll give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone anything, I will pay them back four times as much." And then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek out and to save the lost." Often when I read a biblical story with a character as familiar as Zacchaeus, I can't help but wonder about the stories the Bible doesn't tell us. I wonder about the story of Zacchaeus and his life that led up to this infamous moment in the sycamore tree. I also wonder about the stories following his experience of salvation coming to his house that day. What story did Zacchaeus share with his family about being one of the lost who was found? What stories did he keep hidden? What are the stories he freely told? I recently finished a book called Pastrix, The Cranky, Beautiful Faith of a Sinner and Saint, written by Lutheran pastor Nadia Bowles Weber, who serves a new church development congregation in Colorado called House for All Sinners and Saints. And her book is essentially a collection of her stories that cobble together a narrative about an unconventional life of faith, as the book's description boasts. Nadia has faced a significant amount of public criticism because she has been so honest about her own story, a story that has included alcohol and drug abuse, a story that is often told dripping with sarcasm and a healthy dose of expletives. But she's also reached many people who thought that there was no place for their story in God's family, much less the church. Her stories resonate even with the most straight-laced among us because they are so deeply human and are such an honest witness to our God who joins us in the messiness of life. Now, most of us don't have a story like Nadia, or if we do, we don't want it appearing in print. But the stories of our lives are no less important, no less profound, and in most cases, no less messy. I wonder if Zacchaeus would have been reticent to have his story, all of his stories, shared in print. Or come to think of it, a song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. You know it. So if we use our imaginations and stretch this a little bit, perhaps it's possible that this song is as old as Zacchaeus himself. Did he devise this song from self-deprecating humor? Was he trying to state the obvious about his short stature, thus deflecting anyone from knowing the truth that his story is full of pain, from feeling like he didn't measure up to everyone else? If given the chance, would Zacchaeus tell us a story about being a young Jewish boy? And because of his small size, was always chosen last for whatever ancient Palestinian version there is of kickball? That eventually Zacchaeus just sat off to the side rather than putting himself out there to get chosen last time and time again? And if this was your story as a child, you might remember that feeling all too well and not eager to share it. And if it wasn't your story, I bet you can't remember the name of the kid who did go through this. Forgotten, overlooked, ignored. This may have been part of Zacchaeus' life story, always being pushed to the back of the crowd. And at some point, Zacchaeus thought to himself that he would find a way to change his story and finally get noticed. And for as long as humanity has walked the earth, we have sought after wealth and power as a way to fill our perceived shortcomings. And Zacchaeus felt compelled then to set himself above the people because alongside of them he felt too small. So perhaps there was this vicious cycle of insecurity, exploitation of others as a tax collector, loneliness, and rejection. Was all of this at work in Zacchaeus' story? In his relationships, in the community? Zacchaeus found that rather than helping him stand taller and get noticed, stealing from his own people and building up his wealth, inevitably it knocked him down further, and the people scorned and despised him and continued to push him outside of the crowd. Wow, what a different story this becomes. And the thing is, the author of Luke's gospel, absolutely loves the story of a hot mess sinner like Zacchaeus. Time and time again, Luke tells the stories of how God is always seeking after the lost, the pushed aside, those who don't measure up to the expectations of the world, no matter how hard they might try. Stories of coins and sheep, a prodigal son, a Samaritan, and a leper. Their stories are told, and we hear about how God invites God's very self into the mess of their sinful lives and names them saints. And it's no secret that no matter how many times we hear these stories, we still don't believe them. Because it defies all of our logic that God would spend so much time with vagrant beggars who can't sustain themselves, looking for lost sheep while the 99 remain unprotected, and lifting up, or in this case, bringing down from a tree, those who don't measure up to our expectations. We can't figure out why God would bother with those parts of us that are messy and broken and insecure. This morning, as we celebrate All Saints Sunday, we recall the stories of those who have provided a witness to us of the goodness and grace of God in our lives. We remember those stories and those people. But I believe that this day also challenges us to recognize and remember that this cloud of witnesses or saints are remembered not only because of what they have done, because of what God has done in and through the messiness of their lives. Jesus doesn't come to Zacchaeus and preach repentance. Rather, he invites him by name to experience God's unconditional love, to welcome it, to bring it home, and to live it. And there Zacchaeus is in the face of all the grumbling church folk who don't think that he deserves it. And Zacchaeus joyfully declares his response to Jesus' invitation, that he will give, or as some interpretations suggest, he's already been giving half of his possessions away to the poor and repays any fraud that he may have committed. Jesus tells Zacchaeus' story to all those who will listen, that we all are saints and sinners in the eyes of God. Not because of anything we have done or even will do, but because God's salvation comes to those whom God lifts up. Zacchaeus is a saint because he too is a son of Abraham and is included in the covenant of grace. Because God's story is always about God inviting God's self, whether we like it or not, into the mess of our lives, and challenges us to welcome God's love with joy. We are not only reminded of this on this All Saints Day, but each and every time we come to the table. God invites us to share in this meal, and in doing so, recognizing the serious commitment that is required from each of us, but we also must celebrate the joy that each and every one of us is welcomed. All of our stories, the entirety of our stories, are welcomed to this table. And so this morning, I'm going to challenge us to practice that a bit. Why don't you grab your bulletin? It's green. In case you forgot. Flip forward just a bit to where it says the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Right underneath that invitation to the table, we're going to start including this paragraph in our bulletin each week as a reminder of how we can do that. That when the plate is passed to you, remember to serve your neighbor first. And if you can't remember which way or which one, laugh. Laugh. And that when you do serve your neighbor, share words with them. Make eye contact. It's okay to talk during communion, celebrating this meal with words such as the bread of heaven, the body of Christ, the cup of salvation. If you can't remember any of those words, say Jesus loves you. It's that easy. And the response, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Begin to see the brother and sister in Christ that is sitting right next to you. You may not know the mess of their lives and their story, and they may or may not know the mess of your story. But that's okay. God knows. And God keeps inviting us back over and over and over again to this table. Because we are sinners and we are all saints and we are all witnesses to God's grace and goodness this day and always. Amen. Please join with me in the liturgy that is printed in your bulletin as we remember the great cloud of witnesses and saints that have gone before us. For the long summer has faded now, and these first days of November mark the beginning of the coming of winter. The frost has taken our tender plants, and leaves have begun to fall from the trees, and the geese continue their long journey south. The days are cooler, the weather unsettled, and evenings are suddenly dark. This is the time of year when Christians have marked All Saints' Day as a day of celebrating, remembering, and honoring the saints who have touched our lives.
At this darkening time of the year, our thoughts turn to things past, to life retreating, to those who are no longer with us. Images come to our minds of dear companions who once graced our lives, loved ones who we miss, persons whose lives made an impact on our lives, of all those who were here, contributing, caring, and are now gone. Our memories bring both joy and sadness. Let us not push these feelings away, for our recollections attest to the enduring importance of these friends. This love, our memories, the eternal circle which we are all part of. We give thanks for the gift of life, with all its pain and its joy, its struggle and its triumphs. We give thanks for all the dedicated children of God, whom our church family, whose lives testify to the power of God's Holy Spirit in our midst. We remember those saints who have died this past year. We remember David Bills. Harriet Messenger. Virginia Quimby. Jean Corn. Marjorie Woods. Jean Mason. Norma Remington. William McMahon. Harry Buckle. David Plummer. Russell Eddy. Arlene Bristol. Everett Hadley. And in the silence, we recall names in our hearts, those whom we have loved and have lost. We give thanks for these people and all the people who have enriched our lives. May these brave and lovely spirits live again in our tender thoughts and prove that death and distance are powerless to sever the bonds that connect truly loving hearts. Let us pray. Spirit of life, whom we know best in our own loving and being loved, and those who have loved us, may our gratitude sparkle in our lives. May our tears cleanse our souls. Help us to know that we are not alone in our grieving, and help us to come to that peaceful place in which we can take what we have learned from those who have gone before us into our own lives. Remind us that we too are mortal, and that the only enduring legacy we leave is the love that shines through our lives. Amen.
Amen. Friends, the one to whom we turn our lives over to has invited us to this table. So whoever you are, and however you feel, and whatever reasons you are here, come to the feast. Whatever your condition, whatever brokenness and hurts, whatever you feel, if you're a big hot mess today, it's the host who invites, who welcomes us, who teaches us, who heals us, and who loves each and every one of us. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. The Lord be with you. We lift up our hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. We lift them up to the Lord. Okay, I know it's not printed in your bulletin. We can do this. I promise. Ready? We can do this. Let's try this again. The Lord be with you and also with you. I will say we lift up your hearts. You say we lift them up to the Lord. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. I will say let us give thanks and praise, and you will say it is right to give God thanks and praise. Let us give thanks and praise to the Lord. It is right to give God thanks and praise. I knew you could do it. Holy and wonderful God, it is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right, it is good, and it is joyful. God, always and everywhere we go to give thanks to you. Creator of heaven and earth, in ancient days, you created us in your image, inviting us to live as your people upon the earth. And instead, we fell short of what you created us to be and went as far away from you as we could. Despite the generations of saints who have invited us back, we shunned your welcome. So you sent your son, Jesus, to be the guest of sinners in every time and place that we might receive the gift of salvation. So with the reformers and saints who have gone before us, with friends and neighbors sitting around us, we lift our songs of praise to you. Holy, 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 God of justice and righteousness, all creation keeps watch for your justice. Blessed is the one who calls us all as home. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our life. Glorified is your Son. Jesus came to show hospitality to all to go unseen in this world. He sought the lost and proclaimed salvation least likely recipients. As we remember his life, his teachings, his words, as we celebrate the good news of his resurrection, we speak of our faith, which often seems a mystery.
Christ died, faithful to the end. Christ died, your righteousness come true. Christ will return, our hope and peace.
Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and cup, simple gifts from creation, which grace us with your life, and upon those who gather around your table. Fed with the finest meat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. Welcomed without question at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all those who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ, glory, honor, and praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, with the Holy Spirit in your holy people. Now and always. Amen. Friends, we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought all his friends around a similar table. And on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, he took bread so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took the common bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people like each of us and makes us holy. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it with us, saying, "This is faith made new, faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for, faith that will surprise you, faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." And when we break the bread and we drink the cup, we give thanks for the grace and forgiveness we receive in Jesus Christ and those promises for new life. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together.
Thank you. Friends, this is the body of Christ, broken for each of us. Taste and see God's grace.
Thank you.
Friends, this is the cup of the new covenant, God's grace poured out for each and every one of us.
Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in the sacred moment. May we in turn open our lives to be bearers of the good news where we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
Amen. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite if you have prayers of joy or prayers of concern that you would like to share with the community, raise your hand, and an usher will come around if you would please stand to share those. Thank you.
Mary Hadley, I have a couple of joys and concerns. One is I have a colleague at work who was diagnosed this week with cancer, and it's a bit tricky because they know it's cancer, but they haven't been able to find the tumor, so they don't know how to treat it yet. And it's an advanced stage. So prayers for her that they find the diagnosis this week and can get going on that. And then the second thing is just to ask the senior highs to hustle on down to class so that we can get started. I'd like to get started no later than 20 after 11. Thanks.
That's a prayer of joy because they will hustle on down. I know it.
Allison Tuttle. Monday night, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. So prayers for her, and they caught it early, so she'll be able to recover, but it's going to be a long journey, so thank you.
Prayers for your mom, Allison, and for the whole family.
Doris Belknap, Marie and I would have a joy. Yesterday, we celebrated our 67th wedding anniversary.
Great joy. Amen. Amen.
We're grateful for all the wonderful years we've had together.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Prayers of joy for Papas, too.
Irene Derry, I have a very good friend that I've been friends with for a long time, and her husband is in intensive care right now, and he's in a coma. So prayers for the family.
Prayers for your friend and family. Got a prayer over here. Got one over here.
Prayers for a friend whose father recently passed.
Prayers for your friend.
I want the microphone after husband introduces his guest.
Okay. We've got one here.
Val Tarushan, I have a dear friend who lives in Canada who has battled ovarian cancer. She has battled lung cancer, and now she was diagnosed with brain cancer. So surgery is on Tuesday, and I so much would appreciate your thoughts and your prayers. Thank you.
Any prayers. One last prayer over here.
Anne-Marie Sim, I know a lot of times you go into the supermarket and you see those apples and you buy those apples. Well, in the bulletin, it mentioned tip of the week. So remember, when you go to your supermarket or local market, remember to buy local apples. So we have among us here today the actual farmers, some of the farmers who are working at Sodoma Farms in Brockport, and they came all the way from Jamaica to pick those apples in the cold weather. You know how Jamaica is warm, so can you imagine them outside picking those apples? So please give them a warm welcome.
Here's a welcome. Great joy to have you all worshiping with us, and I know as you are heading back home, prayers for that journey as well. Let us pray. Oh, Tom, you got another one.
I think I'd like to take that one step further. I don't know if people here know that many times the farm workers aren't subject to the same labor laws that we are, and they work under very difficult conditions many times, many long hours, including Sundays, and a lot of times their work goes without thanks, and they give up a lot of sacrifice, both the men and the women. And so I'm going to ask for something a little different. If we could all stand, if you're able, and give these people a real warm Gates Presbyterian welcome and a thank you for the work you do.
Good afternoon. I am Gregory Robert Huggins, and I thank you for welcoming us to be with you. And God is more than a story in this world of sins and sorrow and shame.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. In the hospitality of Zacchaeus welcoming God, we see your openness for the diversity of all of our stories. In the grumbling of his neighbors, we hear the echoes of our own prejudice, fears, and shortcomings. And in the radical transformation you make possible in all our lives, we see your grace, which is prepared for all of us. God, this morning we hold in prayer those seeking strength and guidance in whatever chapter of their story they may be in. This morning we lift in prayer Jen Tuttle and her family, with her recent diagnosis of breast cancer. We hold in prayer all the farm workers who labor long hours so that we may eat. God, we give thanks for their strength and their willingness to help feed a world who is so hungry. God, we pray for also those who live in fear of violence, for deadly shootings at airports and schools, on the streets and in our own homes. Bring your grace and peace. God, give the courage and strength and the will to be who you have called us to be. Remind us that you are not looking for us to be perfect when we come to you, that you'll take the messiness of our lives and redeem them. You will help us learn to serve and witness to your love. Let us place our trust and our lives in your loving care. For we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Indeed, we are filled with God's abundance. And the second and third graders wanted to make sure that we all were reminded to pray for that joy, for all the many joys they experienced on Halloween and in Thanksgiving to come with friends and remembering all their family members who have died and who have made a significant impact in their lives. Indeed, we are blessed. Let us continue our worship with our morning offering, offering back to God a portion of that thanksgiving.
Jesus saw Zacchaeus and revealed that no sinner is too small to escape his love. No gift is too small when given in love. Magnify our gifts, Lord, and let our love shine brightly through them. Amen.
We go from this place surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses of our faith, filled with the love and grace of God, the sustaining salvation of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that moves in and through all our lives now and always. Alleluia. Amen.